Many a time you hear people giving their testimonies and they're brought up in Christian homes and all like that, but I wasn't. I was just brought up in a dire up home. Found nothing, only drink and fighting from my youngest days. And you just hear our sister Quay there saying she had a been about when I come along, the door was shut. Everybody shut their door. Only one, and they call his name Jesus. Never shut his door on anybody. You may be a harlot. You may be like the woman at the well. You may be like the prodigal son of Luke 15. But his door is always open. Because in his precious word he tells us, him or her that cometh unto me, I will in no ways cast out. I was one that never went to meeting. Before God saved my precious soul, if my name had been put up there and you had said to me, what's that? I couldn't have told you. But God's not only my Savior tonight, he's also my teacher. That's why I always try and read my own version of Scripture. But I give our brother the privilege tonight. God bless him. But you know, God has wonderful ways of working with each and every one of us. You hear that brother saying he had to leave him very low before he could speak to him. You know, many and many a time I was left very low. But it was Satan done it. Many and many a time I have been kicked unconscious. Yet the soul never thought of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I lost no more like many and all whenever I was just wanting a fortnight of 14. Now for those of you in the meeting tonight that have a mother, Sherry, show a care. They'll never miss her. Do you see the vacant chair? Sorry for to say, the woman that lived next door to us was a young woman bringing up a young family. And just a fortnight after my mother died, she was the first to take me to the public house at the age of 14. Now I was only 14. Left with a brother younger than me in the home. And with a father as a coal man for 50 years, very much addicted to drink. No one cared about me. No man cared for my soul. No one ever spoke to me about the love of Jesus. But I tell you one thing that they do. They told me a plenty of sin. And I went in for it. Never one ever said to me, would you come to a little gospel hall? Christ died for you. It can save your precious soul. But they did say, come into a public house. You're young. Have a good time. No more to gauge you. Only 14. You can lead a horse to the well. But if that horse doesn't want to drink, you won't make it. And I suppose I was as anxious to go with a woman to a public house as what she was to take me. A young woman of 38 years of age bringing up a young family, only a girl of 14. I had no sense. I meant all right. But then for all Satan had for me, and I'm telling you, it was no easy life. I became 15, went on the gap for 12 months. I became 15, arrested one night, took down to Chester Street. When I went into the cell, there was a woman in that cell that I knew. Just lived there, our sister knows her. to 400 convictions. Do you know where she is tonight? She's in heaven. Saved by God's matchless grace. Through the Salvation Army. God bless the Army. We go to it every Friday night, number 8. And when I entered that cell that night, this woman was in it. And you know, in our young days, we never wore coats. Shawls. My mother wore a shawl. It was torn two, I got one half, she got the other. We were just riding our bare feet in a wee bit of a shawl. Away to the middle of 6 o'clock in the morning. You had to be in for six in your bare feet, wee bit of a shawl. We were riding hard days. Our mothers got it hard to bring the families up. Had to work very hard. Very poor. No, for lack of poverty in them days. There wasn't the stale and grandeur there is today. No, no. But, lying in that cell that night, this woman was in it. And she had a battle of methylated spirits. She said to me, "What are you doing in here?" She said I was arrested tonight. Well, she says, "I'll tell the magistrate your age in the morning, you won't be sent up there. Don't start that life. It has ruined mine. Don't let it ruin yours. Don't be far enough, but don't start going up there." But I say, as a woman that lived next door to my father, took me to the pubs up there. I want to see her. You see, company, bad company, can get a grip in your life. Watch your company. For it's your company you're judged by. To the gallows you can go alone, while your company goes away and enjoys herself. Watch your company. You know, not long ago, I was doing a wee meeting in the boys' home. And one wee lad came over to me and he said, "Miss Connor, you know my mammy." Wee lad, something like that. And he told me his name. "Oh," I says, "Yes, son, I know your mammy." He said, "Miss Connor, when you go home, go you and tell my mammy not to be crying for me. Tell her not to be fretting." Me and my chum set out to do a job. My chum got away with everything. Now I've got 6 years in here for nothing. Only 3 weeks of it in. 3 weeks. Says, "Tell mommy not to fret. When I get my leave, I'll go out and see her. I'll be a good boy." Two. Oh yes, I realise if it hadn't been for that woman taking me to the public house, mightn't have happened. But through it all, God's eyes always upon you. You can't escape him. But I was one that never thought of looking up to God. And I never thought of God. Heaven or hell. Could neither read nor write. Them things didn't concern me. Too full of sin. But anyhow, we drunk the battle of methylated spirits between us. And the next morning, I said to Abella, "I want to get sent up there. What will I do?" My hair used to be very long, hang down my back. She said, "There's a nail. Lop your hair up and say you're 16. And you'll be sent up all right, if you want to go. But I tell you, it's a ruin of you. I know what it is." She'd no home nor no mother. And she lost her mother. Put out of the home. Prison was her home. Month after month and month after month. The last time that she appeared in court, she was 80 years of age. The magistrate said, "Bella, you're too old now to go to prison. Don't want to send you up anymore. Is anyone in the court that stand up for her?" A young man from the Thorndale home up the Anthem Road, Salvation Army, stood up and he said, "Yes, I'll check her up," he says, "for the home." They took that up the hole. She was 7 months there. Except that Christ as her Savior died in it. And they buried her out of Wilton's on the Cumberland Road. I read it in the paper. Went up that morning to see her funeral. And there was a lady come over to me. And this lady said to me, "Is there anyone getting buried out of here this morning called Bella?" I said, "Yes, Bella Holly." She said, "Yes." Well, she says, "I always watched the paper and seen when she got her time and when she was coming out. And they always made it a rule to be here when she came out. She never asked, but I always guessed. I knew there was something good at the back of her. She never asked me for a copper in her life, but I always guessed. Now this wee token of flowers, would you pick me up to where she is that I could put it on her? Just the last token of respect to one that perhaps no one loved or no one cared about." And I took her up. We're just putting the lid on. She left that wee bouquet of flowers there. And I spoke to this gentleman. He said, "Yes, she was there." I said, "Thank God, just in heaven." So you see, from the uppermost to the uppermost, God's no respect of persons. You're not too God for Christ. You're not too good for Christ. Quite a lot of people think they're too good. They've no call for a Savior. I never thought I was too good. Because I never was good. But then I never thought of a Savior. And I came out of court that morning. Bella had got her month and was putting in her cell, separated from me. The magistrate said, "What age are you?" I said, 16. "Oh, the devil will see, he'll tell the lie. Calendar month, my first time." Someone went along and told my father the night before, and that morning he was just coming in when the policeman was taking me out. He said, "Pick her back again." Policeman brought me back. Says the man, he says, "Please put a fine on her. She's only a child. She's no mother." But I was like the boy in Luke 15, although I didn't know nothing then about the boy in Luke 15. No, now. I wanted my own way. And the only way I would have. And some of us won't heed a mother's warning. Some of us won't heed a father's warning. And I just said, "Don't be pleading with him. Let me go to prison. I want to see what it's like." It was that woman was up there. And she'd got the grip of my life. And I couldn't live without her. But those were the saddest words that ever come out of a young girl's mouth. And I was putting that sentence to Chester Street. And the wee wild time fired up that wee door and the policeman come. And he pulled the thing back. And he said, "Well," I says, "please let me out. That's my father crying out there. I'm only 15. My father will go up for my baptism lane. I told my wrong age in there. I said I was 16, I'm only 15. But he just pulled it back. "You're there and you stay there. The devil's a bad paymaster." I ran away to do that first month. And Bella's words came true. The ruin of anybody's life. And you begin there. I begin up the Cumberland Road and I end at Narmal with my two last calendar months. Now I know what it is to go round them corners, it's done all right. Round the district where I live, they all know what I meant to. I often sit in my wee home now. It's only a wee small home with one room. But I thank God for it. But I often sit now like our brother. I praise and thank God for ever saving my precious soul that ever spared me to live. Every time I come up the Shankill Road and look over at Brown Square Barracks, Thinks on the time that I was brought out unconscious when the police said she'll never speak again. She's finished. She'll never speak. But you see, God's love and mercy. I want you just to see the love of God tonight. I want you to see the mercies of God tonight. I want you to see the long suffering of God tonight. I'm a loving Savior. While I never thought of looking up, yes, while I was lying on that plank down there in the chest this seat, perhaps working all week in the spinning room, coming out on Saturday and getting drunk, trailed down there, maybe all blood and all clobber, maybe had 9 stitches in my head, maybe these closed, or maybe this broke, or a leg broke. You were lying on that plank the Monday morning. There wasn't one to send you a cup of tea. Nobody cared. You were there. Love and mercy. He was looking down. No one cared. But he was looking down. Oh yes. He was always looking down, although you never thought of looking up. Can you see the love of God? Can you see the mercies of God? Can you see the long suffering of God? Yes, dear. God has been very, very good to me. And I praise his wonderful name. Wonderful name he bears. He's a wonderful Savior. There's no one like my Savior. Such a friend could be. Oh, if you only knew what Christ has done for me and what he has brought me through. If you were a sinner in a hall tonight, you would run to the arms of a loving Savior. You know, God's word tells us, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for I know it's not what a day may bring forth. We're all here tonight. And as I look down on all you people, you all look in the pink of health. But oh, listen, tomorrow's sun may never rise. Our sister sang the last milestone. One day we'd all go home tonight to our different homes as we will. And you should pass your last milestone. If you're not safe, where will you spend eternity? God says it's a heaven to gain the healthy shun. And you know, heaven's a prepared place, but it's only for a prepared people. And if you're not saved, born again and washed in the precious blood of Jesus, you'll never enter therein. God says it. God's word says it. I ran away to do that month. And I met the woman all right. And I said to her when she was going out, before she was going out, what's that place there? She said, if you take your table, put your stool on top, look through those wee windies, you'll be looking on the Crumlin Road. And of course I done it next day after dinner. And I was just looking down a place they call Florence Place. And I said, oh, there's Florence Place. And if my father would come up and stand there, I would say him, you had done wrong. You had broke his heart. And I was sorry. And I would love just to see him once again. I said to the woman, when you go out, go in and tell my father to come up to Florence Place and stand there. And he did dinner there. And I'd be watching for him. The day after she went out, she done it. And there he was standing there. And I got so excited I forgot I was in a prison. And I shouted out at him. And he waved up. And I waved back. And the mate then heard me and she opened the door and she came in. They ran to get down my stairs. She said to me, what were you doing up there? Oh, she had my father's out there. And I seen him. And I was so glad to see him. I was shouting out at him. Well, she says, you know, you're young. You have no sense. You're not allowed to do whatever you like in a prison. But we'll tame you all right. But I knew though, the Bella had told me. She said to me, if you catched on doing anything, don't go to strike back. Because you'll be put in the black cell and you'll go 3 days bread and water. It's a terrible punishment. Don't do it, just take it. So she fell to me with a bunch of keys she carried. And she gave me something I didn't forget. But I just said to myself, well, I broke the law and I deserved it. But it didn't stop. For every day, faithful, I was up there and he was there. But I never spoke. I'd learnt my lesson. I just waved. But when I came out after doing that month, my father was like the prodigal son's father. He was there waiting to welcome me home. He said, my Rose, thank God your mother's dead. She never lived to see the girl of a Sharia go through those prison gates. You broke my heart. She never broke ours. Won't you come home now and be wise? I said, yes. I'll never be in there again. I'll never be in a public house again. I'm going home to start work. He says, don't go away with that woman. What's your company? And over at the courthouse, at the big courthouse in the Cumberland Road, was standing a woman who lived next door to us. She knew I was coming out that night. See, the devil's coming. She just done that. And I choose my company round the bower. And I said, go you on down home and get the breakfast ready and I'll be out there. My father went down Florence Place on the Old Lodge Road. We lived there and I live there now. We watched them. And she came over and joined me. And there's a public house at the end of it. And they call it the Elephant and Castle. There, yep. And she took me in there. And my father never seen me for another week. I was arrested that night for simple drunk for 7 days. And that was my life, out and in prison all those years, till I done my 2 last calendar months in Armagh prison in the year of 1931. Would you say God has been good to me? After all he has brought me through. Remember one time drinking with a big woman? And she took me away to the place. And the police found me at 3 o'clock in the morning in a place they call Coaches Street. Our boys knows it here behind. At 3 o'clock in the morning, kicked unconscious. I was taken to the city hospital. It wasn't the city then, but it's called the city hospital now. And for 4 days, a policeman sat beside me. For 4 days, to see what I speak. And the 4th day, I spoke. Would you say God was good to me? He was still watching today. He brought me through. And you wonder why it is I love him so. When I think of all he has done, and for me the guilty one, can you wonder why it is I love him so? Yes. Wonderful saviors, nobody like the Lord. Nobody like the Lord, no matter where you go. Through all my life he has been watching over me. And how I came to get saved. Don't want to keep this too long. How I came to get saved. I was a great go with the pictures, although I couldn't read nor write. And I just always wore a shawl. And there was a place in the North Street called the Giddy Picture House. It's not there now, it's Woolworths. And every Monday night I went in, and every Thursday night, and there was always a woman there read the pictures to me. See, the devil's always there, no matter where you go. And this woman always read the pictures to me Monday and Thursday night. And this Monday night I was in as usual, just with my shower. And this woman didn't come. I said to myself, the woman didn't come at night to read the pictures, much she used to be sitting here. And I looked around that picture house. And I said, oh, this place would go far. Wonder where we would all be. Oh, we'd all be making for the door. Oh, we'd all be burnt. And here's the thought came to me that couldn't read nor write. We would all go to hell. Me thinking of that place. Didn't know nothing about having a hell. Well, I said, I'm not going to sit here. I'm going to rise and go home. God was convicting me of my sin. And I was so ignorant and unlearned. And I'll not go. And anything he doesn't do, I'll not do. Anywhere he doesn't go, I'll not go. Be glad that he took me in, that he didn't shut the door like the rest of them. I come out, come home. My husband says, pictures is out early at night. Oh, we're never waiting to see the picture on the screen. And I'm down in my own home again. I knew there was something wrong with me, but I couldn't tell what it was. I was afraid. And I knew I was afraid. And I said to myself, I wonder what's wrong with me. But I walked about, and I was in a bad way. And I walked down the road on Tuesday morning and said, that place never went a fair toll. There's something wrong with me. I wonder what it is. But I never put it down to the Lord. Never thought of God. And on Thursday, I was on the Shankill. And I'm brave and well known in that district, for I've been reared around there all my life. And I met a woman, and her and I began to talk. And she began to ask me all about myself, and I began to tell her about Monday night. And she said, Mrs. Connor, do you stand there and tell me that you're afraid? I says, yes, I'm afraid. Ach, Mrs. Connor. Sure, it takes 5 and 6 pillars to train you down when you're going. It might, but I'm afraid. If there's a fear of God is on me, and I didn't know what it was, I was so ignorant and unlearned. She says that if you hear a cool man's testimony down, and when she says cool man, I was interested for my father, been one for 50 years. And I says to her, what's a cool man's testimony down? She says the lack of men has been drunkards. They've all been in prison. God has saved their precious souls. They're holding a mission in the Brownlow Hall. And if you go, Mrs. Connor, you'll get a great blessing to your soul. And I says, is it a meeting you're speaking about? She says, yes. I says, a meeting? She says, yes. You're the first person in your life ever asked me to go to a meeting. Sure, never been a meeting in my life. I like a maid that went to the meeting. She says, Miss Connor, would you not go? I said, no. Why would you not go, Miss Connor? Well, I says, if I like a maid, went into the meeting, everybody else would rise and walk out. She said, Mrs. Connor, everybody at the very glad to see you in the meeting. And I saw one with the very glad, would you not go? I said, no. And I left her. But God's ways are not our ways. He works in mysterious ways. He's wonders superpower. But I didn't know he was working for me. And on Friday, my sister-in-law was away home to Glory Night 5 years, and another woman came in, and I began to tell them. And I says, Annie, would you go? She says, I'll go if you go. And I says, to her, well, Miss Abbott, would you go? She says, yes, Miss Connor, would you go? I says, you just want me to go? Well, all right, I'll go. So on Friday night come, my sister-in-law made my shawl, the old woman, the coat, and we went down to the hall. And I says, Annie, you juke in your bathing chicken, juke you in. Mom says, come on, cramp your room up at the front. Come on, cramp seat center. And I walked in and I just had a walk in after them. And when we sat down, I says, Annie, come on out. Everybody's looking at me, oh, can feel my face getting as red. She says, nobody looking at you at all, sit the hour. Thank God, so I did. And the boy was reading out of God's word, and I didn't know what he was reading, for I couldn't read the time. But I remember him saying, there's a heaven to gain, the hell to shun. I remember him saying, there's two classes of people in the meeting tonight. There's a saved and unsaved. And God says, if you die in your sin, where he is, you cannot be. And I looked up, and I says, this is where I've been going all my life. And I never got nobody to tell me deny. And I'm fed up with sin. I'm fed up with a pub. I'm fed up with jail. I'm fed up with getting kicked and bit. And I give all my young life to Satan. I want to get this man to anything with a name of an old, spent life. I'm going to ask him. And at the end of that meeting, I raised my hand. And that was on the 3rd of April on a Friday night, 1936. And that's 28 years ago on the 3rd of last month. And that Friday night when I went to that upper room, Brother Walker says, Mrs. Connor, you're crying by sore. My sins come up before me like a mountain. And I begin to think of many times I should have been dead with the kickings and the beatings that I've got. And that this man, God, had kept me living till he saved my precious soul. I cried sore. Man couldn't do it. No woman couldn't do it. Police tried to do it. The magistrate tried to do it for long sentences. And everybody had a dig at me. They all tried to tame me. I was with the man of Kadara. Just run off me like water of a duck. So I was bad as ever. Nobody could do nothing with me, only Christ. He tamed me. He saved my precious soul. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There's nobody like the Lord. I lost my husband 8 years ago. And we were all waiting. Oh, she'll go out now and get drunk. Oh, what do you see now? The windows will go in. And that Friday night I got saved. All you would have heard, oh, when the Aladdin's night comes. Oh, 12th day she'll be away dancing the dance of Finnegy. Oh, the windows will be in. Praise God, 27 twelfths has went by. 27th, 11th night. And I'm still praising the name of the Lord. I had occasion with this old clothes to go to the Royal Hospital last month. And the doctor was a Christian doctor. And he was looking at me arm. I've never seen an arm like that, he says, on a woman. My, my. You're very lucky, says, there's a pair of hours. Will you win these smasher? I says, yes. Maybe. You've something to thank God for, you the pair of hours. What an hour. He asked me a whole lot of questions. Do not break Wendy's, now, no. Do not drink, now, no. Not smoke, no. I told him everything. My old grandfather was loving me, says the Reverend Dr. Montgomery. A remission on the shank, I'll only be proud of you. Keep it up, he says. And God bless you. Thank God, no matter where you go. Always have your testimony. And a good testimony means an awful lot. What the law can't do, what man couldn't do, what anybody couldn't do, Christ can do. And after we saved that Friday night, I come home, told it my own home, and out and told a whole lot, but oh, knew what the people had. I went on Saturday night with my old shower for a meeting. Went on Sunday night, nobody would come along with me. And I just says, well, Lord, you've saved me. Nobody wants to come along with me. Lord, help me to go to a meeting with that shower now. And I just went on to a meeting. And the old shower for me. And on Monday night, a woman brought me to the test and meeting with Lord, and said, away to blow it up. Somebody in every town. They began to go to a meeting. If anybody was speaking in the New Testament, I'd tell you, please, Martha, would Martha come home, sit there in the chair, say, Lord, help me to read your precious words. For there, sitting all my young life, over 40 years since then, Lord, will you do something that remains of an old, outspent life, led me to read your precious words. I want to be faithful to you, and I want to be true to you, and I want to be earnest. I just would take that and say, that's Jesus. Oh, see, that's God. I hear says, oh, see, love. And that's the way God led me to read his precious word. And I can take God's word now, and I can read it. Praise his holy name. Oh, listen, I could stand here all night and tell you the goodness of God. You don't understand it. You've never been through it. My sister, the back, brought out the name, all knows all love to save. Oh, listen, if you're not saved tonight, if you're not saved tonight, in love and mercy, will you come to Christ while you're in time? I never was as glad in all my life that God saved me as I am now. For the sin and the iniquity was getting carried on now was bad in my young day. It was bad in my young day. But it's 10 times worse now. 10 times worse now. And it takes all the grace that God can give you for to live in these last days. And God bless these mothers that's wearing a family. And God bless these fathers. And listen, mother, watch what you do finance your children. Father, watch what kind of a life you leave finance your children. The children can get up now and take the wee box. Belongs to the mama. Watch. A wee thing, a 4-year-old the other week. Give me a light. What do you want a light for? Not there. What's that? Three bucks. Where'd you get that? That's my mommy. What age are you? Don't go to school, I'm too young. They're watching. Children's watching you. When you leave it there, they can pick it up. If you're in sin yourself, don't bring your innocent children up in. Watch. But where you leave your life, renounce your family. God bless each and every one of you. And if you're not saved tonight, don't go through the door tramping over the precious body of Jesus any longer. We may never meet here again, but over me past our last milestone, if we meet up there and sing the redemption story, it will be lovely when we all meet at Jesus' feet.